You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
We looked at an introduction to our new series last week. And actually, one of the things that I was talking about as we went through this year, if you remember, we were saying it's all about the soil. I won't put the things up again, but we said 2017, if you flip the two round, it makes an S. If you flick the seven upside down, it makes an L. It looks like soil. 2017 is all about soil. And actually, one of the things we said, if we get our soil right, when that word, when that seed comes, it can be planted and then it will grow. Now, if that's us as individuals and we're saying, well, actually, we've got to get this soil right, we've got to get the soil right here at Limbrook Woods, what does 2018 look like? And for those that weren't here last week, again, 2018, there's already a few people turning things around. You've got to flip 2018 right upside down and you end up with B-O-I-S, BIOS. What is our BIOS? What is our direction? I can see you're liking this. There's a few smiles out there this morning. But how do we live? What is life like in the kingdom of God? And actually, I came across a quote which gave us that good framework, even as we said last week, maybe one of those kind of like life goals. What is a life goal for us? What do these things look like? I tried to rewrite it, but you know when someone writes something brilliant, you just go, that's it? What would our life goal look like? And actually, I think I got it up on the screen this week. It says to live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God. It's free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. Who wants a life like that? Yeah. I mean, that's beautiful, isn't it? And when I saw it, I thought, can I actually rewrite that in some way, shape, or form? And I couldn't. That's it. To live a life that is dedicated to and pleasing to God. It's free from hypocrisy, full of love and grace, full of wisdom and discernment. And I don't know if you remember back last week, I like to ask a lot of questions. And I actually gave out a little sheet. I'm not sure if there's any of them left at the back. But one of the key questions that I asked, and I don't know if you've been thinking about it all week, because I certainly have, what makes me me? If you were to ask yourself that question, what makes me me? If I'm asking it, what makes you you? What makes me me? You could write, that's fantastic, you could. It's an interesting challenge because I think it should be an ongoing journey. And actually, what makes me me should probably change. I know some over this last week have had some testing situations. You find out what you're made of. I'm not going to pick on anybody particularly this week, but who does well with telephone answering systems? Hi, you have got through. Please press one. You start going through these things. How many people get to the end of 15 questions when you've given them your inside leg measurement, everything else, and someone picks it up and goes, hi, what's your name? And you think, I've told you everything about... Who does well with those situations? Who gets there and goes, hi, my name's Darren. I'm so pleased I've been waiting 25 minutes to get through to you. We find out what we're made of sometimes, don't we, in these situations. What makes me me? What am I really like? Is there a work for the Holy Spirit still to do in some areas of our lives? And the series that we're actually looking at this week, or these next few weeks up until our Christmas season start, what's it like to live in the kingdom of God? What does Jesus say living in the kingdom looks like? And again, if you didn't make it last week, I played with words a little bit, and you've got to forgive me. It was probably because I'm illiterate, actually, when I wrote Beatitudes down. But what is our attitude to being? As citizens of heaven, what should we be like? What attitudes should we have? And actually, what we said over these next few weeks, these are going to form our Beatitudes. Okay? It's our Beatitudes, our attitude to being. If my attitude shapes me, what am I being like? So this week, we are looking at blessed are the poor in spirit. There, as you remember last week, we said there are eight blessed are those, and then there's blessed are you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, when you read these things, you kind of go, oh, instantly understand exactly what that's talking about. Does anybody look at that and go, I understand exactly what that is without any further study? Does it sound a bit negative? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's go back to that word, blessed. Remember what we said. Jesus, what does he say here when he used the word blessed? Is he saying happy? Is he saying, hey, happy are those that are poor in spirit? What did the word blessed mean? And actually, just to pull it up again, blessed, just by saying happy, misses the point. It actually misses it entirely. I said this last week, and again, it's good to reaffirm these things, because I forget. I imagine you might as well. If you have that inner peace, if you have a quiet contentment and joy in the knowledge of being right with God, then you are blessed. If you have that inner peace, if you've got a quiet contentment and that joy in the knowledge of being right with God, then you are blessed. Because if it comes down to happiness, we're not always happy. And trials might come and things might test us. And in those times, are we blessed? You wouldn't say, oh, well, you're happy in that trial. It misses the point, doesn't it? But actually, in that trial, if I know I'm secure in that knowledge that I am right with God, then I can be blessed in that moment. It doesn't mean it's not difficult. It doesn't mean it's not hard. But there is blessing to be found in those situations. Blessed are those that get through 15 minutes of telephone answering machine systems. Aren't we supposed to be rich in spirit? Blessed are those that are poor. Aren't we supposed to be rich? Haven't we got treasures in heaven? Am I missing the point here? Surely I'm supposed to be rich in spirit, not poor in spirit, am I? Did you not think that when you read it? Surely I'm supposed to be rich here. I'm not getting the poor bit, God. What's that about? We need to understand what Jesus is actually talking about. In Matthew 6, he does speak about storing up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 21. You might know it well. It says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Or along those lines, depending on what version you're reading. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So there is some treasures here. But what about riches? What kind of riches is Jesus talking about? The poor that he speaks about, poverty, that I think spiritual poverty. A spiritual poverty that I think starts on a journey. I couldn't do this in one go, in a sense, because it's very difficult if you try and rewrite something, because Scripture's got it right, and we try and rewrite it. We don't always get it right, but let's go on a journey with it. If that spiritual poverty leads to humility, we could start to rephrase that blessed are. So instead of blessed are the poor in spirit, we could maybe rephrase that to blessed are the humble in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But don't leave it there, because poor is correct, but we're on a journey with this word poor at the moment. You see, if we have humility, it means we stop relying upon ourselves and what we can do, and recognize that in and of ourselves, we are actually poor spiritually. We'll not recognize this if we're proud and puffed up. So there's got to be some humility in this poor that's being spoken of. Now, I know you love your Greek. The Greek translation of the word poor, if you put it up on the screen, you'll see it's got a number there, 4434. It actually speaks about of one who crouches and cowers, a beggarly or poor kind of condition, of one who crouches and cowers. I liked the word beggarly in here. If you were unfortunate enough to be in that place of social standing that you are called a beggar. There's not a lot that you could do, particularly in the culture of the day. You might even not be able to walk there. Someone comes along and dumps you down, and you sit there, and all you can do is put your hand out. It's all you can do as a beggar. Please, please, I am poor. What will you give me? What will I get today? You can see where this is going now, I hope. Jesus is saying that as kingdom people, those that are blessed, those that have that inner peace, that quiet contentment, that joy in the knowledge of being right with God, those that have that humility will gladly bow the knee, bend over, crouch, extend the hand and say, God, what is it that you have got for me? I don't know if you can remember back to our Ephesians series, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works that no one can boast. So if we are in humility, if we're in that beggarly type position, if we recognize who God is, then in and of ourselves, there's nothing we can do to actually earn that amazing gift of life that he offers, is there? There's nothing we can do. And actually, that's how complicated the gospel gets. Isn't it? Really? We simply receive all he has to give us. If you don't know that that's the way to God this morning, if you like that doubting Thomas, he said the very same thing, didn't he? In John 14, 6. I don't know who you are, Lord. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Now, for the disciples, they did know God. And Jesus finishes that sentence, that 14, 6 to 7a. There is a 7b. Jesus goes on to say, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. And really, I want to turn that into a question this morning. Because he's made that as a statement. Jesus says, this is a statement. You have seen me, you know me, you've seen him. The question is, do you know him this morning? Do you know him? Jesus says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. Now, I'm quite excited about communion services because it really should be a time when we gather around the Lord's table, and it's that sharpener. Here it is. Christ is coming back again for those who love him. And last week we said, the table is open to all who love him. All that come and recognize that Jesus is Lord. There is no barrier in that relationship with God for those that will humble themselves, bow the knee, recognize their spiritual poverty, become beggarly, that beggarly fashion, holding out the hand and accept that God has done everything needed to restore that relationship with him. I mean, that's just a wow moment for me. If we come like that, if we're poor in spirit and we recognize that, then the kingdom of God is ours. How complicated can we make it to come to God sometimes? I know we do our 30-second gospel thing, and I challenge you, if you're out during the week, guarantee you'll talk to somebody about the weather. How many people said, oh, isn't it cold today? Has anybody turned around and said, how are you walking with God, brother, sister? How are you getting on with that? You bump into someone in the chip shop, we'll talk about everything. Oh, I was on the telephone the other day, 15 minutes I was on the phone. We do all of that, but where would we actually say, hey, look, do you know what? God wants a relationship with you, and it's as simple as this. Romans 10:9, it's a great one. If you're going to draw in your Bibles, this is one to really draw around and put a tab on it. Romans 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be... You see, sometimes we can make this really, really complicated. And I know we come with complicated lives, and I know there's baggage. But in that moment, look, let's boil it down. Let's make this simple this morning. Let's not make this such a big thing for us to carry that we go, how on earth am I going to tell this person this? Look, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we said at the last communion service, if anybody wants to do that, then there's an invitation to say yes to God today. And we're going to break bread in a minute. And I want that to be for anybody in the room today. If you want to say yes to God, then today is that day that you can do that. It might be for some that came to communion last time and went, do you know what? When that lady stood up and she did that, I wish I'd been brave enough in that moment. When do we create those opportunities for those that don't yet know God to say, look, this is the way. Do you want this? Someone was once brave enough to say that to me. Praise God that they did. I had to make a decision in that moment. Is this for me? Am I going to bow the knee? Or am I going to be proud and puffed up? I'm not poor in spirit. I know exactly where I'm going, exactly what I'm doing. Or can I say, no, I am poor in spirit. I recognize, actually, I am nothing. And I need to bow that knee and I need to put the hand out and say, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, I want that. Now, in that moment of being beggarly, I suppose, you don't always know what you're going to get. But for those of us that have done that, were you disappointed? Are you disappointed? I mean, it's just the best ever. What's the deal? I bow the knee and then I get the kingdom of heaven in return. What is this kingdom? I believe the context that Jesus is talking about is that salvation. Quite simply, we are delivered from the consequences of a life that is falling short of perfection. We know, don't we, the Bible calls this sin, and I've said it before, we probably would all agree we've fallen short of our own standards, let alone God's standards. I was speaking to someone this week, and I hope I'm not talking out of turn. They can tell me off afterwards if not. But they told me of a conversation they've been having with someone who was quite angry against God. They were in rebellion to God. This young man, as probably a lot of us have had similar conversations, thought they had it all right, that they knew better. But just this week, their life has been cut short. They are dead. Full of bravado last week, dead this week. Now, words that might have been shared with that person, we don't know whether they acted upon them. Only God knows that. But the tragedy is this man did not appear to be poor in spirit. If you actually remember back to last week, Proverbs 6, 16 to 9, it spoke about those things that God hates. In fact, seven things that he absolutely detests. Those that are in rebellion to God, they're proud. They say they are liars, but they are lying to themselves, if the truth be told. They might even be folk that are sowing discord amongst the community. This is what it says in Proverbs 6. They might be devising wicked plans. Scripture says those that are opposed to God will suffer the same fate as all of God's enemies. And we're in a privileged place this morning. Do we love God? Do you love God? Are you coming to him this morning, recognizing him as that one that has all those things to offer us? It's good, isn't it? We are beggarly. We are poor in spirit. And boy, what does our Savior give us in return? And just to be clear, because we are going to break bread in a minute, there's no fence sitting. Jesus makes it really plain. Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me, or whoever is not for me, is against me. These are Jesus' words. These aren't things that we're thinking this is what Scripture might say. Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me. And it goes on. You can read a bit more of what Jesus is saying. It's a really short message this morning because I think we need to make it really simple, really plain, black and white. Are you for God or are you against him? For those that have accepted that they are poor in spirit and that humbly you come in that beggarly way, extending that hand, those that have done that have found the most incredible hope. Do you feel blessed having come in that moment? Was that a blessed moment? I know some of your stories. You might have been in a hospital in desperate situations and you cried out to the Lord and he heard your voice. Did you come proud in that moment or did you come beggarly? I need you, Lord. To have that inner peace, that quiet contentment and joy in the knowledge of being right with God, this is what being blessed is like. Just look at that for a moment. Have you got that inner peace, that quiet contentment and joy this morning? Have you got that knowledge of being right with God? Oh, I know I've got a lot of stuff wrong, but there's nothing I can do to put that right. I come beggarly this morning, poor in spirit. Lord, help me in that moment. As we start to unpack this, what makes me me? I don't want everybody to go out here saying, well, I'm a poor beggar. That was encouraging this morning. Thanks, Darren. But actually, I was a poor beggar. And when I was in that place and I reached out the hand, I walk out with royal robes this morning. I walk out with that ring upon my finger. I've got sandals on my feet. I am a child of the King. I didn't stay in that place. But my attitude still has that humility. What makes me me? What makes you you? First blessing that Jesus says to us this morning is that we recognize we are poor in spirit. Does those verses just come alive now? As you look at that, as you leave here this morning, do you just go, wow, what a wonderful Savior we have.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.